Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom. It is Sunday. Welcome. This is the Abracadabra Show. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. And we are here every Sunday, 12 p.m. Pacific time, L.A. time. We're broadcasting here from L.A., Sherman Oaks, and it's available anywhere in Israel. It's 10 p.m. And we are here every Sunday to discover, different perceptions, different tools that allow us to see beyond what appears to be here, to see beyond what is part of the daily stories that we are here to overcome. Overcome can be a harsh word sometimes, but nevertheless, if we strip away the emotions and the attachments that we have to every situation, we can look at everything like a map. And this is what I do, and this is what I offer. I'm a spiritual mentor, a guide, a sound healer. And I work with you, with women that are in a place that are ready to reclaim your power. In a place that are ready to reclaim your power, not from a place of overpowering somebody else, but recognizing your own divine power, your divine gifts, the gifts that you received, the tools that you received, to see beyond all the veils, all the stories, all the emotional turmoils. Also, all through all the emotional joyous moments. And we'll talk about that. And what I want to talk about today as well is strengthening our presence. What does that mean when we strengthen our presence, when we are in a strong place? How does it look like? What is the process when we are ready to reclaim our power, when we are shedding the layers that keep us in these funky places, in these places of confusion sometimes, and really to see what is in front of you? When you look at the mirror, what do you see? Before that, I want to start with a daily prayer, a daily request, a daily recognition. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat ase shel ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the utterance or the due commandments of love your neighbor, your friend, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And it starts with you. It also ends with you, but it starts with you for the sake of explaining this. Or every week I feel that we are discovering this manifestation of love in different ways. And this is really what it is. We discover it in different ways, whether it is with communication, whether it is with relation to ourselves. It all boils down to communication. But really, how are we communicating? How are we communicating to ourselves? How are we seeing what is in front of us? How do we relate to people that we meet every day? How do we relate to people that we meet? So it's in every situation. Every situation of relationship. How do we perceive the person that is in front of us? And the way that we perceive the person that is in front of us is many times really a reflection of how we perceive ourselves. And therefore we also invite those who are on the same vibrational level that we are in. Did it happen to you that you get up in the morning and, well, you have a choice. You know, you get up in the morning, you have a choice. You can get up in the morning and say, wow, what a day. I woke up. My soul returned to my body. You know, many times we go to sleep, we wake up, we don't even think about that. We don't even think about what is happening to our body, what is happening to our soul, what is happening to our spirit when we're sleeping, when we are in that state of existence versus not existence. And we take it for granted. We get up in the morning, we say, yeah, I'm going to do this tomorrow, I'm going to do that tomorrow, I'm going to be here tomorrow. We're not looking at the situation that we're actually getting up in the morning. We're actually receiving the gift of awakening into this space. Of getting up in the physical. Getting up every morning, going to work, going to a show, going to anything that we do. Breathing. When was the last time you stopped to hear your breathing? When was the last time that you stopped to thank, to be grateful for breathing, to be grateful for your health? Now, there are people that are struggling with their health, struggling with other things. So it is sometimes difficult to hear this and to say, what do you mean grateful? I have this and I have that, and I'm going through this and I'm going through that, and I'm going to hear. So in the same way that you may look at your health and say, oh, why do I have this, and why does the other person is healthy so well, you know, why do I have to deal with all this? It's the same way that one would ask, why does this person is so successful? Again, depends on what successful means to you and how you value or measure success. But in the same way that one can ask, why does this happen to me? It could be the same way that someone will ask, why does the other person have this and that and this and that and this and that? So one thing that can help, that will help, as you practice this, and everything that is good, that you're doing well, means that you practiced it well, is one thing. First of all, to realize that your journey, that your becoming here in this plane, in this level, is unique to you. Nobody else has that journey. Nobody else has the tools that you have, the gifts that you have. And the gifts and the tools that you have are specifically designed for your journey. For your journey, for your challenges that you chose to take upon yourself when you came here. When you came here, the choices that you made on the spiritual realm were designed specifically for you to experience. The tools that you have, the challenges that you have, are here specifically for your journey. Everybody has their own journey, their own story, their own challenges, where they're born, to whom they're born to, or whom they're born to. So when you say, why does that person have this and I don't have that, is because what that person has is not going to be good for you, at least not in this stage, or maybe not at all, because that is not your tikkun. Tikkun in Hebrew means fixing. Now, it is not fixing you because you're broken. You're not broken. You're completely whole. Fixing meaning the elevation of your spiritual level, to elevation of your vibrational quality, your vibrational level, to ascend. So you each time ascend into a higher place of consciousness, to a higher place of understanding where you come from, and hopefully in this lifetime where you're going to. And the tools that you have are designed specifically for your benefit. So that is why you can understand when I give the example of something that is happening, and many times we think about something that is happening to us. It is not to us, it is for us, because the challenges that we experience, that is where God is, that is where Spirit is. When everything is hunky-dory, we don't grow. I remember when I lived in Israel and then in Boston, but in Israel specifically, I would play music and I would perform in front of children. And children, as you know, are not bound by filters. They're pure, they're clean slate. And if I would perform and I wouldn't reach to the children's hearts and I wouldn't get their attention, they would just get up and leave. Like in a class, if a child is not stimulated, they just get up and leave. As adults, many times you are polite, you are trying to appear to others that you are respectful. Some are not, but for the most part, I want to believe so. But that also, we want to stay in a place and to give respect to somebody, and we don't just get up and leave. And the reason I brought this is because that's where the challenges were. That's where the challenges were, where I would have to find ways to overcome my own fears of rejection, my own fears of acceptance or the lack thereof. Now, at that time, I have to admit, I was shut down by that time. Because as a child, I had connections to other realms, and I would feel and see different entities, and I would receive a lot of downloads. But at one point, I remember vividly, I was walking home from school, and I would have conversations with different entities. Let's put it this way: I like to say that we are all 13 in one body, and the neighbor saw me, and she said, "Ilan, who are you talking to?" And I remember that really put me in shock, because I realized that neighbor or anybody else doesn't see or doesn't hear or doesn't feel that which I felt. And so that started the process of shutting down. And when I would perform later on, in my late teens and my early 20s, I would perform and the children would at some point maybe would get up, or I would have to find and fine-tune this way, this feeling of expanding, of growing. And so when we're faced with challenges, we grow. Why? Because we're pushed to the corner of our comfort zone, and we grow. We force ourselves to grow. We are in our nature to grow, to survive, to excel. And so when we are in this challenge place, in these challenging moments, in these challenging places, this is where growth is. This is where God is. Now, why do I say that? Because this is where your faith, your trust comes into play. This is when you know that you've grown and you've ascended from the place that you were in yesterday. when we say God is all around us, everywhere. Think about a fish. Think about a fish. A fish in the water is surrounded by water. To its right, left, top, bottom, front, back, inside, everything is water. And this is exactly it. We don't have to lift our heads to the sky to say a prayer or to ask for something or to ask for help or to ask for guidance. We can look down at the ground, but we automatically, as we are taught, is to look to the sky because God is up there. Oh. The creation is all around us. Energies are all around us. You may sit and listen now in your car to this program, and God is all around you, and energies are all around you. And it may not appear so because we are in a certain realm where in this realm we cannot, for the most part, see things that are part of this realm or part of another realm. We cannot see it in this realm. But know that it's there. It's just like Wi-Fi. You know, when you walk into a coffee shop, you don't see the Wi-Fi and yet you can connect. Wi-Fi is just is a perfect analogy for spiritual connection. Because Wi-Fi just exists. Spiritually, spirituality and love is in the air. All you have to do is open your laptop or open your heart and connect. And So here I am at, actually I didn't say this to you in the beginning of the program, I'm here in Israel. I came here last week with my kids, and it's been a long time since I was with my children here. And it is an exhilarating, and so this recording, this program, it is not live. Actually, it is recorded a few hours before the program, so there is no ability to call in today, and I thank you for listening and for being here. But I'm recording this show from Israel and from the completely different energetic space that is associated with my relation to the place. Yes, there are energies that are specifically related to a place itself. So we are affected not only by what we feel inside, but also where we are, the environment. We are affected by how the environment is, by how the space is. And since I'm here, it has been, and it still is, an exhilarating experience. Every time I come here, it is a completely different experience. It's a completely different experience. There were times that were very difficult, and there are times that were very accepting. And this is one of them. This is one of these acceptance and rejoicing in that space. In that space of being here, of experiencing all these places and connections and relations from a different space, from a different place. You know, so our desire is automatic, is part of our motherboard, if you will, is to come to a spiritual, emotional, and physical balance, is to bring everything into harmony, is to bring everything into a nice, wrapped, beautiful package. So my work is really to help you map your experience. Map your experience to a place where you can find harmony, not from an attached place of emotional pain, not from an attached place to an emotional space, period, whether it is pain or whether it is a joyous moment, to make your choices and decisions from a place that is best for you, and to recognize that journey of yours, to recognize what you are here to do in any aspect, but especially after you are experiencing a traumatic event. Because when we are experiencing a traumatic event, many times we lose the Northern Star. When you close a door on your thumb, it's not only that the thumb hurts you, it's your entire body. Right? So it's to come to a place where you can isolate that which caused you a pain in one spot, and to recognize that it's happening in one spot, and to be able to map that experience to a place that will bring you harmony, that will bring you joy, that will make you, that your choice will be complete, that you can feel it in your body. Your body is your guide, your mind is your pride. Your body is your guide in the sense that your body will tell you, if it is truth or not. Your body will tell you if your connection is authentic or not. Your body will tell you when you walk into a space or when you meet somebody if you have good vibes with that space, if you have good vibes with that person. I walk today into places or meet people and I could and my relation is to the spot. If I don't feel that feeling of expansion, then I look at what is triggering that. Then I look at what is triggering that feeling of either confusion or either resentment. Why is that being surfacing? Now we say all the time that people are reflections of who we are. But it's not only that, because then what you end up happening is also every time that there is something uncomfortable in a relationship, then it's very easy to say, oh, it's not me, it's you. And so there is this fine line, this balance in everything. There are the two sides. There is the positive and what doesn't appear to be positive, or the negative. It's all up to us and up to you how you are navigating that space. So if there is a situation, for example, I'll give you a situation. I don't know if I mentioned it, but there it goes again, COVID, because it comes up. It comes up now. This is a situation that I've noticed, that I've heard from clients that have experienced that with their partners, and it is also something that I've experienced personally. And so I want to bring this example and see if you can, and if it didn't happen to you in the same with the same details of the story, see where it could happen to you where it happened in with the different details of the story. So if you are you meet somebody, I had somebody that came to me and told me that he met somebody and used the phone, and he went to a different room with the phone, and when he came back, his partner, she asked him, where have you been? And he said, I've been in the other room. I've been in the other room. And so what did you do? Did you text somebody? You probably texted somebody. Let me see your phone. I want to see your phone. I want to see that you are not texting anybody. Now this situation happened in for a client and happened to me as well. And so I can relate to that also on a personal level and also on a professional level. And here is the situation. The couple meets, and after 2 weeks or a very short time thereafter, this incident happened. So there are a few things here. If the person chose to be with that person, with the woman, with the man with the woman, it could be in any combination, then the person chose to be with that person. the fact that the woman asked to see the phone really comes from a trauma that she's experienced and didn't have resolution. And so here is how we project on the other person stuff that we've experienced in our own past with a previous relationship. And so this woman, she experienced a very severe traumatic event with a previous relationship, that there was a lot of trust issue, and issues. And in this new place, her experience was similar to the old experience, where the person would use, in her old relationship, a person would use the phone under her nose to text somebody else, and comes now in a new relationship, and she has the fear because it appears to her that it is happening again. Why? The person is leaving the room, going to somewhere else, to a different room, with the phone. And she assumes automatically, her fear starts coming up, that the person is texting somebody else and hiding it from her. And so how do you deal with a situation like this? The first thing is first to listen to the person. You have to be able to listen to the person to assess what is happening. Many times, and I remember 10, 15 years ago when I was in situations like these, I would get triggered by that. I would get triggered by that person's assumption. Why? Because that is also a wound that we shared. So in shamanism and also in Kabbalah, we meet through our wounds. Many times we meet through our wounds. We meet through what connects us, through traumas. Now, if we are healed from these traumas and we are recognizing these and we come together, then we can move forward. But if we don't, then those issues will come up. And here we are faced with a situation. Here is a woman that thinks, believes, experienced trauma, that believes that this is happening again, while she really doesn't know what happened. And it has nothing to do with what happened in the other room with the phone. But that situation was placed on this relationship. So, if you are aware of what is happening and you can see through that, and you know that, now I'm talking from a place of truth and honesty. It is not about how do you find a way to tell a different story or that you will not find. I'm talking about honesty. You took your phone, you went to a different room, you read, texted, whatever you did, and you are in honest place with yourself and in the relationship. However, the woman that is with you is experiencing fear that is coming from a previous relationship. So you have two worlds here. Now, if you get triggered by that, that's also a wound. So the place is to listen to what is going on in her side of reality. And when two people come and don't agree, the first thing I would say is that you are right and you are right. You both are right. You both are right. Because she sees it in one way, and you see it in one way. There are almost like a comic statement of, there are three truths. Your truth, the other person's truth, and what is. And it's a daily practice to come to a place to recognize what is yours and what is not yours. And that is the balance, that is the harmony that I was talking about, the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical balance, the physical, all these three aspects, harmony. And when you are able to see that it is not yours, you are already in a place of harmony. And when you are in that place, first of all, you don't get upset. You don't get triggered because you understand that you were 100% fine, 100% okay, because there was nothing going on. And the other person was triggered by you taking the phone to the other room, and then she asked you, let me see your phone. And so, the show me your phone situation. I want to see that you are not texting anybody else. This is, unless you are, then I can't help you here, guys. But if you're not, and you are truthful and honest to yourself and to your partner in the space that you are, then you can recognize that she comes with fears. It could be the other way around. I just brought these examples as examples that happened. I like to bring examples that happened rather than to fabricate an example. Now you are in a space that you can embrace what she is experiencing. You are a container to what she is experiencing. You are a container to what he is experiencing. You are a container, if you are in a relationship and your boyfriend, husband, partner tells you this, and you recognize that it is his fear, that it is his pain, his trauma that he brings into this relationship, what you've done now, actually by not doing, but what you have done, you released your space from holding on to something that is emotionally destructive. So now that space allows you to contain that person, to contain your partner. What do I mean by containing? Is by listening, is by giving space, by understanding that it is not about you. So no need to be threatened, but to listen and to start communicating. Let the person express. Let the person be in that space of expressing what they are feeling. Now, it could go into different levels. That person can scream, can yell, and that is because that is how the person knows how to handle situation or not to handle situation. So the anger and screaming comes. And so, but you are a container. This is what Kabbalah also says. This is what Kabbalah means, the word receiving. But receiving not as I'm receiving from you, receiving as a container. I am a container, that a pot of water that can hold the water. Also, if you put rocks in the water, food, rocks and food don't go together, but let's put food. You put noodles, you put soup, you put vegetables, you put... The pot contains all this dish. And so you come to a place where you start recognizing what is really there. Not what is your truth and what is her truth, or what is your truth and his truth, but what is really there. And you have space to really contain that person, to hold space for that person. So you see, reclaiming your power doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do anything or that you have to overpower somebody or you have to acquire a certain skill. Or you have to practice a certain thing, because now you have to reclaim your power. You have to be in control. You have to be... Actually, being in control is not being in your power, because you're trying to control that which you know and to preserve that which you know. And preserving that which you know doesn't give you space to grow. Preserving that which you know doesn't give you a space to grow, because you are in the same comfort zone, as shitty as it could be. This is your space. containing, embracing the other person doesn't mean that you have to do anything, but on the contrary. This term is called, in Kabbalah and in Judaism, it's called canceling yourself. Canceling yourself to the temptation of falling into an emotional turmoil. Canceling yourself to the need of anything. It could be to the need of proving yourself, to the need of, when you're having a conversation, to state how much you are this and that and this and that, and you have to do this and that because you have to make sure that they know what you do so they can value you more. Because if you don't say, oh my God, maybe they won't value you. And it can be very painful if you are immersed only in that need. So canceling yourself is canceling yourself to that choice of going into an emotional place or receiving it in a negative space. Now go back to the example that I gave you about show me your phone. The first time that that happened to me, a few years ago, the first time that that happened to me, I recognized that I was triggered. I recognized that I was triggered as if I did something wrong. And the matter of the fact is that I didn't. But the story, the situation reminded me of how I grew up. And so it took me 2 minutes, a very short time, 2-5 minutes, to recognize that I got triggered. To recognize that I got triggered by something that is not me, however the shape of that story triggered me because it reminded me of traumatic events that happened when I was younger, when I was a child. So you see, when two people come together, you can create a whole different story that has nothing to do with anything except for fear. And except for a trauma that happened in the past. And so it took me a few minutes to recognize, to understand that I'm being triggered and it is not me. And what that created, and everybody responds differently. If you are getting triggered by that, you may respond in defensiveness, you may respond in aggressiveness, you may respond in all kind of things that coming from the trigger of your own wound, and that is how you deal with that. So that is your story. So then when she says, show me your phone, which comes from a place of her fear and her lack of trust in herself and in others, and then you are being triggered and respond with whatever way that you respond that come from your story. See, they don't go together. Nothing, none of this situation has to do with the other situation. None of them. And then you create a whole brand new argument or a whole brand new dissatisfaction that is based on nothing. I mean, it's something, but it's based on nothing in the relationship. It's based on something from your story, it's based on something from her story, but when you come together and you have these junction, you have this junction that you bring the stories from each place and you're not conscious of this, you are creating something that is based on nothing. And many times this is what is causing relationships to fail, because we're not in that space of recognizing that this comes from their story. Now, yes, you did something, you said something that may have triggered her, so this is where the communication comes. This is where you talk. This is where you realize that you've wasted time if you wouldn't have talked. So to come to this place of recognizing that you don't need to be there because this is not healthy, and you are, because you are the container. And granted, for the most part, women can contain much more or much deeper than men can. Not everyone, but majority, or many, let's put it this way. you have the capacity also to speak in lesser amount of colors. I'll talk about that after we hear to this upcoming song. This is by Inbal Malul, Waste of Time.
מחר אשכח הכל, אז למה? למה לי לקחת ללב? להתרגש משטויות, למחוק את מה שהיה אתמול. סתם עוד בזבוז של זמן, סתם בוא נברח מכאן. להתעסק בדבר מיותר, להיות מה שלא אני, לבחור הכי נכון שאפשר, לזרוק את המיותר. סתם עוד בזבוז של זמן, סתם בוא נברח מכאן. ואיתך אני שוכחת ובורחת למקום אחר, איך השקט שבך חשבתי לרגע להתעקש, לא נוותר, לשים הצד את מה שלא חשוב, להתמקד במשהו אחר. סתם עוד בזבוז של זמן, סתם בוא נברח מכאן. סתם עוד בזבוז של זמן,
Inbal Malul, Stam od Bizbuz Shel Zman, Waste of Time. If you're a musician and you have music, please send it to me. I'd love to hear it and I can play that. Show your gifts to the world. Show yourself to the world. Show up. This portion of the week relates to what we, in a way, to what we... what we're talking about is Parashat Vayikra, Leviticus. And it's very interesting because in this portion, God is calling Moses, Vayikra. Usually in the Bible, it says Vaydaber, and he'll talk to or command Moses or talk to Moses. But Vayikra means calling him, like, yo, I'm calling you, come over. It's like almost sounds like a friendly calling, but we are in this plane, and God is not necessarily your buddy. So at the end of the word Vayikra, there is the Aleph. There are five letters: Vav, Yud, Kuf Resh Aleph. The last letter, Aleph, the first letter in the alphabet, is the last letter in this word, is small than the rest of the word. And the reason it is small is to remind of humility. The first letter of the alphabet, Aleph, is in numerology and in Gematria, which is the numerology in Kabbalah and in Judaism, is number one, is the one, is the creator, is the aluf, is the champion, is the noble, the highest spiritual elevation. And it's small to remind humility. And why do I bring this up here? Because when you are in that space where you are in a relationship and you recognize that the other person brings their own stories, they bring their own pain, and quote unquote dump it on you, dump it on the relationship, it is humility and it is humbleness that allows you to see that. Because if you are in an egoic place and trying to shut off the other person or just tell them, oh, it's not me, it's you, go back with your... This is not coming from humility. And if you are with the person that you love or the person that you are with or trying to build something, it is definitely not going to help. But when you are in a place of humility, then you are accepting. You're accepting the other person that is in front of you. Everything that is transpiring comes from a place of humility. So reclaiming your power, you know, this is a perfect example. When you are in this humility and humbleness, you really don't need to prove yourself. You really don't, because you are in this place of recognizing your own gift, recognizing your power, recognizing what you have, and now you are for the other person. So reclaiming your power doesn't necessarily, again, mean that you have to do anything, but it's a matter of canceling yourself to what shadows your vision of who you really are. And you decide that you don't have to stay in a situation that is not healthy, because you say, this is not for me, this is not me, my emotions are not me, I'm not identifying with these emotions, I'm experiencing them, I'm going through them, I see what is happening, but this is not me. And so when you cancel yourself to getting triggered, well, I mean, we'll get triggered many times, but it is the practice that will bring the recognizing of the trigger to real time. Then when you are in this humble space, then you're able to contain the other person. Then you're able to look at the other person and say, I know who I am. Let me be for the other person. This is where your power is. This is where the strength is. Look at the lion, for example. The king of the jungle. The king of the jungle. Why is the lion the king of the jungle? Do you ever stop thinking about that? Do you ever stop to think about that? That is really what I wanted to say. Why is the lion the king of the jungle? I mean, the lion is not the fastest animal. There's the cheetah, the bardelas. The lion is not the strongest animal. Look at the elephant. Why does an elephant, when the elephant sees a lion, starts running away? And with the trunk, with its trunk, it can just slap the lion away. If he sits on the lion, it's like, forget it, the lion is pita bread. So, why is the lion the king of the jungle? I heard somewhere last week about somebody was interviewing a person that was training elephants. And elephants are wonderful animals. But regardless, he was training an elephant and they needed to leave the elephant
in that space. And so the elephant trainer tied the elephant's foot to a little piece of stick that was put on the ground. Now it's not very strong. It's not sturdy into the ground. It's just a rope that is tied to that stick. And so, and the elephant is strong. The elephant could have really just with a swing, very light swing, could just release itself from that stick. But the trainer said something very interesting. The elephant is not aware of its own power. When the elephant was a baby, he tried to release himself from that stick and he couldn't. And so he was broken, and his spirit was broken, cultivating his forgetfulness about his true power, about the strength that the elephant has. So he didn't try to run away from the stick, but he stood still. And so the elephant, when he sees a lion, he doesn't know that he is powerful, more powerful than the lion. He's not aware of that. And so what makes the lion the king of the jungle? It's attitude. His attitude. He walks into a room and the lion knows he's a lion. The lion knows his role. He knows also his weaknesses, but he doesn't show them. Not to his prey, at least. And this is an exact correlation to what I was speaking about, reclaiming your power, being in your power in every aspect in life, in connection, in relationship, at work, how you relate to work, how you relate to your boss, how do you relate to your coworkers? What happens if somebody at work is just having a rough week, a rough year, and just takes everything on you? Disrespectful, causing you a lot of issues, causing you a lot of problems, trying to sabotage your work. Yes, does it affect you? Yes, it affects you, of course. But also remember that it is not you. You are just a trigger for that person to act in a way that is mean or disrespectful. As a human being, recognize your own power. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. It's just the only thing to do is actually not doing, is to recognize that you are you, regardless of what others say. Recognizing your own gifts. I was talking about this on Friday, in the video on Friday, where when you cancel yourself, you're actually revealing, you are revealing the light within you. Think about a finished piece of puzzle of 1,000 pieces on the floor, or like a thousand that you complete the puzzle, 1,000 pieces of an image. And every time that you cancel yourself, every time that you are in this place of recognizing that you don't have to do anything, but just to listen to you and to recognize where you're coming from, it is like removing a piece of that puzzle, and the light comes from behind the puzzle. So think about like it's not sitting on the floor, but it is standing like a wall, like a fortress, right? You have this piece of puzzle, or you have a wall of bricks, and every time you just remove a brick, every time you remove a piece of puzzle, and the light behind that piece, that puzzle, shines through, and you remove another piece, and another piece, and another piece. So it is not the strengthening, it is not actually doing something, but it is revealing, it is peeling off the layers, the filters that we didn't have as children, that as children we were in harmony, until the adults in our life that are filled with stereotypes, with judgments, with everything, teach us all these things, and we absorb it, identifying many times with that which we were indoctrinated with, and we already forgot, like the elephant, we forgot our power. And it is slowly to peel those layers that will reveal the power that is behind that facade. So I ask you and I invite you to take a breath, do a meditation. And that is why I do work with sound. And through the work that I do is working with sound and frequencies to hone in your energy. Sound is the ultimate medicine for the body and soul, for the spiritual, emotional, and physical level. Because we are made of sound, we are made of vibration, we are made of frequency. And these frequencies are sending messages back to the brain, back to the muscles, to rebuild those cells, those emotional cells and those physical cells. And when we hone in your energy, we clean the toxins, we release the toxins, we are in a place of rejuvenation, we are in a place of, we are like a receptacle, we are able to receive. So when you, if you are experiencing any of these things with your partner, like I gave an example, it could be many stories, many examples, many misunderstandings. Remember the story of the lion, remember that you don't have to do anything except for recognizing your truth, where you're at in relation to the person, if you're truthful or not. If you're not truthful, then all that we're saying is not is really applying more to you, for you to see where you're at. But if you are truthful, then it is this place to come to a place of quietness, a place of stillness, recognizing where you're standing and recognizing your attitude, your how you carry yourself, and how you carry yourself is really how you feel about yourself. So I'm here in Israel. It is a wonderful experience. It is a wonderful experience to come here and to re-experience all these places, all these smells, all the rain, all the relationship with parents, with friends, from a place of harmony, from a place of acceptance, from a place of recognizing, from a place of understanding and seeing the power that is in each one of us as is, and is in me as well, and to recognize that this is a beautiful harmony. So today I'm going to drive with my kids today up north to Tzfat. It's a Kabbalistic town. It's a wonderful drive. And I send you all the love. And I will see you next week. I will talk to you next week. If you are a musician, again, send me your music. You can reach me through website, www.bodysoulsound.com. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/bodysoulsound. Have a wonderful week. Make it a party, and I will see you. I will talk to you next week. Litot, shalom. There you go.
בצד הכביש ונלקח ממני משהו שלא היה שלי. לא ידעתי מה לומר, היא חתמה את השיחה וידעתי שהפעם בלי ספק זאת הפעם האחרונה. כל הקשרים כבר נשרפו מזמן, רק אני לא ראיתי מרחוק השן. כל החיילים שלי הלכו לשם. או 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 או
הרגע שלפני הטעות הראשונה. לא ידעתי איך לחזור מקרקעית הבור אל מפלס הנשימה, אל הפעם, אל הפעם הראשונה. כל הקשרים כבר נשרפו מזמן, ורק אני לא ראיתי מרחוק השם. כל החיילים שלי הלכו
You speak with Elon Azulay only on LA Talk Radio.